Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening. Welcome to another edition of the New Africa Business Association. I am your host, Bilal Masadiq Bynum, and we welcome to you to the show. Our show tonight, of course, is going to be estate planning, everything you need to know about estate planning and what happens when you have to deal with probate and the probate's courts. We'll be right back with our guest speakers and tonight's events and tonight's show in just a moment. Welcome back to the show. Again, New Africa Business Association. We have special guest speakers this evening, and we're trying to locate all of our speakers as we speak now. But in the meantime, I do want to let me see if I can get some of this echo away from. I do want to announce some of our special events that are coming up in the near future. And that is, we'll be having our international trade show The International Trade Show is going to be located in Durham, North Carolina, and that trade show is going to be held May the 5th to May the 7th of 2017. So those of you who are wishing to attend the trade show, you can call 1-888-776-9908, or you can call 704-201-1353. Let me repeat those numbers. Again, the International Trade Show, that would be 1-888-776-9908 or 704-201-1353. So again, we are back, and we will see if we have all of our hosts online. I do want to have another announcement before we go to our program this evening. That announcement is going to be done by Miss Bernie Swan. And those of you that's been following Dr. Parker and the 51090 Solo Energy Company activities and the information that we're sharing with those who are interested those who are interested in attending the organization, I have a telephone calls coming in and I'm hearing, but let me get back to those of you who wish to summarize more information about Dr. Parker and the information that we think we understand about Dr. Parker, we do want to have some time as to where we can converse. And I am going to turn you over now to Miss Bernie Swan out of Delaware, and she's going to share some information on how we can have a private conference call. Miss Swan, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, everyone.
Yes, go right ahead, Miss Swan. We hear you.
On Monday, March 20th, at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we have arranged a teleconference for those interested in the follow-up questions and any follow-up discussion based on the two presentations made by Dr. Parker related to his solar energy project, and that was the 910 nano project that he was talking about. And many feel that they need to just have clarification on much of the information that was given to us. So if you have any follow-up questions or if you have any discussion that you would like to ensue based on 510 nano, please dial 515-739-1020. And that will be on Monday, March 20th. As a matter of fact, that is next Monday, starting at 7 p.m. And we will have, at that time, entertained any of your questions, concerns, follow-up, whatever you feel that you might want to discuss before we again present Dr. Parker to the larger group to see how we would like to continue with his project and how we would like to be involved with this project. Again, if you didn't get that information, it will be Monday, March 20th at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The dial is 515-739-1020. Also, when you dial that number, please put in the code number 9577-20#. Look forward to having you join us on Monday, March 20th.
Thanks so much, Mr. Swan, for that information, and we're looking for all participation. At this time, we're going to turn our program over to an estate planning attorney. She specializes in estate planning. So without further ado, Attorney Williams, are you with us?
I am with you.
Okay. Welcome to the show, Ms. Williams. We're going to turn it over to you at this time.
Oh, thank you. I just want a clarification on that Monday call-in. What time is that again for the 5 Nano?
Bernie.
What time will that be?
At 7.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you so much. Hello, everybody. I'm glad to be with you tonight. We're going to talk about, or hope to talk about, estate planning. And one thing that we could try to get clear is what's in estate planning. And I'm not sure that we could. I have an echo here. I'm not sure that we could cover everything in one session tonight. So I do hope that we have another conversation maybe a week from now. But my name is Shalor Williams. I'm with the law office of W. Alton Lewis at 1450 Mercantile Lane, Suite 155, Largo, Maryland, 20774. My telephone number is 301-341-5577. I'd like you to know this, too. I've been trying to convince people how important it is to at least talk about the subject of estate planning. And I've been doing this since 2009. And from 2009 to this date, 2017, research has it that the leading cause of death are heart disease, cancer, unintentional injury, chronic lower respiratory diseases. Those are the first four major causes of death. Now, they may change in number, but as I've said it to you, it's 1, 2, 3, 4. Heart disease, cancer, unintentional injury, chronic lower respiratory diseases. From 2009 to 2016, those were the leading candidates of death. And I have continue to go through workshops, and now I'm talking to you through the radio to let you know that any second, you could be facing death, even if you are in the hospital, riding a bicycle, at home, working at your desk. 1 second, we are all 1 second from death. So the question becomes, have you prepared yourself spiritually? And have you prepared yourself financially? Have you prepared yourself estate-wise? In most cases, with the people that I talk to on the phone and potential candidates, that answer is no. That answer is no, I have not. Well, I want you to understand you're not alone. There are reasons why people do not talk about death or do not plan for death. And in many cases, that reason is they don't believe that they have anything to give anybody. So they don't talk about it. Some people believe that as soon as they talk about death or getting sick, too sick, the next day they're going to die. A lot of times people don't talk about death or don't create these special documents that they need to have is because they don't know who to talk to. Well, I'm here today to tell you that you should talk to an attorney, not the internet. Talk to an attorney. It is worth that. And some people feel, number three, some people feel they do not need estate documents. But you do need estate documents. We all need estate documents. Now, what are the estate documents? Well, the leading estate documents that we should talk about now and in the future are last wills and testaments, power of attorney, and the power of attorney includes durable power of attorney and health care power of attorney. We need to take a reality check right now and say this is the time we should talk about it. And just to bring you back to me personally, I want you to know out of the 50 states and the over 3,000 counties in the United States, our office deals with the District of Columbia and Maryland. And why do I say that? Each attorney or each jurisdiction has its own process. I cannot tell you about Virginia. I cannot tell you about Hawaii. I can tell you about the District of Columbia and Maryland. But there are some general rules that we all should follow. We should ask ourselves, are we prepared for tomorrow? Are we prepared for the next day, the next second? The third leading cause of death for the last 7 years that I'm aware of has been accidents. Every day somebody gets hit by a car. Every day somebody, you have car crashes in the morning when you get the traffic report. So I urge everybody to look at one thing. If you see that there is a workshop happening, go to that workshop. If you want to call me and ask me to conduct a workshop for you, call 301-341-5577. I know that we've also, when you talk about death in the region, the latest report is since 2017, there have been 53 homicides in the D.C. region. Now, nobody wants to hear this, but the question is, were they prepared? Are you prepared? And I want you to know, let's try to get you prepared. So you can call here, call me, or you can call while we're talking. And especially, this involves people who own their own business, who have their own LLC, who operate as a company. You should always think about this. What happens to your company if something were to happen to you? If your partner dies, if you die, what will happen to the company? I believe that those of us who are prepared, you have a operation agreement that says exactly what's to happen to your company when you are no longer with us, or when you get so ill that you cannot make a decision. I invite anybody to call in and ask a question while we go through this process. You should ask yourself, who should prepare your last will and testament or your estate document? So let's see what each document does first. A last will and testament explains to the reader of the last will and testament, to the court, to the jurisdiction, that document explains what you want to have done with your assets. Nobody can do it unless, one, there's a will, or unless there are the next of kin to you. Your next of kin, or you have a will, or your executor or executrix or personal representative. Your next of kin, biologically. So now, what does that person do? What does this document do? What happens to you if there is no will? He forgot to write a will. I have friends who know that I could prepare a will for them, and they have not yet prepared a will. You put off tomorrow what you can do today. A will tell the reader what to do with your blue suede shoes, what to do with your car, what to do with your home, what to do with your bank account. Now, the process of probating your estate only deals with those properties that you have, both real property, like a house or business, and personal property that are in your name. But anything that is joint property, you and I own a car, you and I own a bank account, the general rule is that if something were to happen to you, that's my property. If something were to happen to me, that's your property. Depending upon how we step up that joint ownership. So the will only tells us what to do with properties that are in our name only. Now, sometimes we don't have a lot of family, a lot of members in our family, and sometimes we don't know who we should give our last asset, how we should give our last, or distribute our last asset. That's why you should talk to somebody very, very soon and often to clear your mind and to prepare the correct document that you need to prepare. So who should prepare your will? Your will should be prepared by a lawyer in order to structure the will so that it reduces death taxes, ensures that the property will be distributed as you desire, and it has to satisfy all other legal jurisdiction requirements.
Go ahead now.
Now, I think that is a good start for us. I'd like to talk to you in the future about other parts of an estate document. So we're going to stick to the will for a moment. When you write a will, you have to determine who you want to be, what people used to call executor. Now we call them personal representative. Who will be the person to carry out your desire after your death, to close out your account? That person can be anybody you want that person to be, as long as that person has not committed a crime, a serious crime, and as long as that person is competent and of legal age. That person is called a personal representative. And you also have to consider if that person predeceases you, die before you die, who would be your substitute personal representative? So you need two people when you think about your executor or your personal representative. The first choice and a second choice. You also don't have to worry about putting your account numbers in your last will and testament. You don't have to worry about that, because you might change the document, your accounts might close. You just need a simple will to tell people what to do with those things that are in your name only. After that happens, you have to execute the will properly, and a properly executed will for the District of Columbia and Maryland, you need two witnesses to watch you sign that document. They do not have to know what's in the document, but they do have to watch you sign it, and they have to sign it after you sign it. Some people like to put a notary, have a notary public notary public to notarize that document, you can do that too. That is not necessary as of today's date in Maryland or in the District of Columbia. So once you write a will, you have two witnesses to see you sign it. You ask them to sign it too. You have properly executed a will. Now, that document is very, very important because that document will tell everybody what you want to have done with your assets and how you want your liabilities paid. I think that at this time, to give you a break, we should have a little break about now. And go to a commercial break, possibly.
Okay, thank you. Okay. We'll take a slight break and come right back, Ms. Williams.
Bynum & Associates Financial Planning and Insurance. Immediate annuities. Retirees, roll over your 401ks, TSPs, and pension plans into an immediate annuity. It will pay you a monthly income for life guaranteed. Please contact me for a free income quote today. At Bynum & Associates, we'll professionally mind your business. Visit us online at www.BynumAssociatesInsurance.com or give us a call at 202-288-5660 or 301-234-9090. Natural Skincare by Karima with Shea Butter. We offer a great selection of 100% all-natural moisturizing creams for the face and body, without preservatives. Also, check out our hair products. Order online and get them delivered to your home. Check out our new online shop at www.etsy.com. Search for Natural Skincare by KHB. For more information, visit us online at www.naturalskincarebykarima.com or email us at naturalskincarebykarima@gmail.com. Give us a call at 301-534-4475 or fax us at 240-318-3537. Try out our newest product, our peppermint foot rub, for a luxurious feeling your feet won't forget.
Okay, back to the show by Ms. Williams.
All right, thank you. And we were talking about the document called The Last Will and Testament. Each jurisdiction has its own procedure. But what you need to know is what happens if you do not have a will, a last will and testament. Well, if you do not have a last will and testament, how will your assets be taken care of? How will your accounts be closed? Well, the law in each jurisdiction of D.C. and Maryland has a process that says this person passed away without a will. That term is called intestate. That person died intestate without a will. So if you are a married person, your spouse is next in line to process the administration of your probate, of your assets. That person will ask the court to be appointed. Now, if you're married and living separately, that spouse has the first right to process the administration of your assets of your estate. If your spouse predeceased you, not able to, then the next person in line.
You're looking at me right now.
No, I did eat a little bit.
Let me see.
Are your children?
Hello,
Gina.
Yeah.
Hi. How you doing?
Okay. I keep hearing all this noise in the background.
I know. I'm not sure where it's coming from, but it's we'll try to whip around it. Gina will take over in a few minutes. Let me just go one step further. We were talking about what happens if you don't have a will. She has the right to process your or ask or petition the court to probate your estate. First your spouse, then your children. If you have more than one children, more than one child, somebody has to decide on who. If you don't have a spouse or any children, your parents. If you don't have a spouse, children, or parents, your siblings. And it goes down the line like that. I know sometimes it's hard for people to talk about processing their estate. But it is something that I encourage all of us to do, and do it timely. Now, I want to give Gina an opportunity to come in and talk about what people don't like to talk about again. The people don't like to talk about death nor taxes. And guess what? We cannot avoid either one. We can't avoid death, and we cannot avoid taxes. So I'm going to call, see if Gina's ready to start talking. If not, I'll continue. Gina?
Yes.
Okay. Gina is the best person I know to do either personal or business taxes. She's the best person I know. So, Gina, why don't you take over from here while I check out this noise?
Okay. Hi, my name is Gina Baker. My company is Baker Financial Services, LLC. I'm also located in Largo, Maryland, 1401 Mercantile Lane, Suite 200W. And my phone number is 301-630-7220. Basically, I guess some of the things that's happening in the news as far as them talking about taxes and some of the things looking forward in this new administration of some things that they're proposing to do, I like to talk about, especially because it's going to affect, I guess, a lot of things if they do pass. It's just some of the things that they're proposing. One of the things that they're proposing to do is actually put a cap on how much mortgage interest a person can deduct off their taxes. We haven't had this particular change in years as far as that it relates to home ownership. If you look at them trying to actually do that process, of course, a taxpayer will owe more taxes, okay, because most people that own homes and you don't own a business, it's one of the biggest deductions that you can take off your taxes. So if they put a cap on it, everybody probably will owe more taxes. Because they're going to put a limit on probably how much you can deduct. And right now they haven't decided, I guess, how they're going to do it, I guess, per income or as to how they're going to come up with this cap. The next thing looking at discussion, too, is them trying to do some things with Social Security, making the people that have Social Security, you can be in charge of your own Social Security, which that's really a bad deal for some people. And also, too, that in doing that, you would be in charge of your Social Security money that's in that pot. So, therefore, if you spend the money before you get to Social Security, I don't know, I mean, before you retire, come on in, I don't know what would happen to your retirement, and in thinking of that now, if that does happen, it looks like everybody would be basically saving for your own retirement, whether it's in the government vehicle or whether you go outside and do it yourself.
Tina, do you know how these this new health, how the health premiums are going to be are the health premiums going to be impacted on the taxes?
Trying to take away the penalty. They're trying to take away the penalty that they had automatically put in there with the Affordable Care Act. So they're trying to take that penalty away, but it's, you're still going to get penalized. It's just a different way.
It's going to be paid by the insurance company. The money is going to be
insured. Right now, what they do is just take it out of your refund. If you're getting a refund and you still owe for the portion of health insurance that you have not paid, they'll take it out of your refund, or they'll send you a bill, a tax bill.
And where would the money go? It goes into a tax pot.
I mean, really, if you look at it, the tax pot is low. So they're trying to fill whatever they can in basically filling the tax pot up again. Because we had a whole generation of people that didn't work or people that got displaced out of jobs and economics and things like that, where it wasn't a lot of people contributing. So any tax thing that they're doing now is trying to basically fill the tax pot again because it's low.
Have anybody right now? If you're not working, and you do not have your and you're not into the pool, that's when you get penalized, right?
Well, no. If you're not working and you don't have any income, basically, probably all your health insurance is going to be paid for. The only time it affects is if you are working and you didn't pay enough in the pool. Maybe you didn't get insurance for half of the year, and they subsidize the other half. So they're going to charge you for a certain portion of that.
Okay. I got it. And how does that... Okay. Now...
So they'll either wait till you file your taxes if you get a refund, or they'll just send you a bill.
Okay.
For that portion.
All right.
Yeah.
Now, sticking
and then
on the
all
premium,
that money is being... What are you saying?
Staying with the premium. So whatever, can I deduct health premiums on my taxes?
If you are a business.
Okay, all right. But if I'm an individual, can I deduct?
That's the portion they're still trying to work out. That portion.
Okay.
Because they're charging you a tax on it, but then if they let you write it off, it's like, but they're not getting any benefit from it. You know what I'm saying? So that's when I think they're trying to still work through. And even if it is a write off, you probably would never get it because mm-hmm. if they put it on Schedule A with all the medical stuff, you couldn't. Nobody never qualifies for that anyway until you're real sick.
Right.
So.
Becca, I'm going to give everybody a chance to call in. I just want to give them the number. Everybody's here in this program and would like to speak to the financial planner or the accountant. Call in number is 657-383-1372. Ms. Baker. Yes, Ms. Davis, you can continue.
I can continue. I'm trying to think. Was it anything else that they had out there? Well, the one thing I would suggest to anybody that's getting ready to retire or in that 50-60 range, you need to start looking at basically what you have in Social Security. And start planning accordingly. Because they're looking at possibly Social Security might run out.
Really?
So, yeah, possibly. I don't know how they're going to subsidize it, but it might not be enough in there to carry you through. Because we're living longer. We're living to 80, maybe. So they might not have enough there. So it's time to start looking at that and start subsidizing your own.
Okay. All right. I was wondering, would it hit people like my age, or will it hit people much younger than me, like my
Well,
son,
it's gonna hit anybody, because if you're in there. If you're in there and you start getting it, and then the money runs out, it's gone. Okay. Yeah. But most people that 60, if you start at 62 and you start getting yours at 62, most people probably do have maybe a good 10 years. For it to possibly run out. So I'm suggesting to most people of that age, if you're hitting 59, 60, or whatever, and you're getting close to that retirement age, you need to start supplementing your own retirement if you have extra money. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
If you have extra money.
I'm smiling because the key word is extra money.
Yeah, if you have the extra money to supplement.
Yeah,
and I know that's hard to do, but you basically got to start planning now. I mean, you have to get rid of as much debt that you have.
I have a question.
And then that extra money that you have from paying off the debt, you should put it in something for retirement.
I have a question. More so than, because I am in the retired bracket, I'm in my 70s. But my concern is not so much for those who are 59 and going into the Social Security. My concern is the young people, 18 years old up to whatever age, let's say 59, more so than the ones on the other end of the bracket, because those young people may find that they have a check that still has Social Security taken out of it. I'm wondering if we should let our young people who are 18 to 59, if they should just stop paying into something that's telling them they're not going to have their money. Why would I pay into something where I have been told, go ahead and pay me every paycheck, but we're not going to give it to you at the end of your work year? Isn't there something in place where these young people will have their own pool, where they have their own organizational thing apart from the government telling them you're not going to get the money that you're paying the government? Those are the people I'm concerned about, because they're the ones going to be hardest hit.
Well, just like you said, at your age, you're okay, and that's what I'm saying. These young kids that are going into the workforce, they've got to be, trained and be very knowledgeable about this whole Social Security thing, because it might not be there.
Well, since it might not be there, and since it probably won't be there, why even pay into something that might not be there?
Well, only because the government hasn't made a decision about it yet. That's why.
Well, they're making money off of people that they're later going to say, okay, we didn't make a decision for 30 years, and now we're not going to give you your money back. I think the young people need to be a little more on top of not having this iffy stuff of 30 years from now not getting their money when they can have something positive that they have planned to circumvent the old way.
Well, that's what I said, but until the government makes that decision, it's still mandatory for the Social Security stuff to happen. So,
which is
I would say with that, it's just like with a young person going into it, just go into it, okay, until they make the decision with in the government, because it's mandatory, they should start something supplemental on their own.
And
anyway,
all of that money, and I understand what you're saying, but is the government, I don't know where they're going with this, but is the government going to say what you put in, at least they will honor that, or are they going to say, suckers, pay us for 30 years and we're still not going to give you a dollar?
No, well, see, that's one thing they were thinking about doing. Thinking about whatever, like these young people, if you're going in, they was thinking about, okay, whatever you paid in, I'm going to give you control of that. They give it back to you. They're going to give you control of it.
What they're going to do is give the states the money, and then the state is going to be in charge of it, and that's when it's not going to give the state enough money.
Well, the only thing about that, that's why you've got to, these young kids have got to be really on top of retirement, because if they have their Social Security money back in their hands, it's like you can't spend it. This is, you got to put it in another vehicle to get you there.
Yeah,
we didn't have
yeah.
to do that. We had to safeguard of Social Security, so we didn't have to do that. If they're going to give it back to you and say, okay, this is how much you paid in, now you're in control of it, and you're not supposed to spend it, and they know if you spend it, it's still probably the 10% penalty that you get for spending it and all of that, whatever, when you pull it out. But our young kids are got to be more savvy and, okay, no, this is my retirement. I'm in control of it. I got to put it in another vehicle.
Okay, all right.
Now, Ms. Baker, is there a possibility that they would do an age adjustment rather than getting rid of the program altogether? Several times the Social Security Administration have gone to age adjustment because of the mortality rates that we have in the country. And, of course, you're right, we're living with a bunch of aging homes for depleting the system. And but I am looking to some of the financial proposals being done, and they're talking about raising the age as to where one can receive Social Security. Early retirement now would go up to maybe around 68, and regular retirement, we're talking about as much as 71 or 72. That would be one way of building revenue and allowing, like I said, the pot to grow a little bit. What do you hear on that note?
Well, just like I said, they have pushed it out to 70. Just like you said, you have to be in a certain age group to actually get your full retirement at age 70. Like before, it was at 65. Now it's going to be 70. But that's a certain age group, and I'm not quite sure what age group that is yet. I mean, I read it, but I can't remember off the hand what age group it was. You have to be born between a certain age.
They have
born between a certain year.
Precisely.
Which is being pushed out to 70.
But still, like you're saying, even with those proposals, it's still a possibility that Social Security could deplete itself. They don't know if they can save the system at all.
Yeah, because we had an economic crisis here of people not working and being displaced and jobs going here and there. We had a whole generation that's now 40 that have never worked. Some of them have never worked.
Well, you can blame it on that, but I blame it on the federal government and all of these. Every time they want to borrow money to spend wars and all of the things that they have done, the government.
And we had that too. You had all that too. So that's a long period
that's
of time. Where now we're getting to all the baby boomers that's going to really suck it up. We're going to take all
that's
the money.
Right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely sure.
Because we're living longer too.
That's precisely so. So again, we're going to remind all of the listeners out there. Listen, you're talking to experts here. We got financial planners on the line. We have accountants on the line, and we have state attorneys on the line. This is a chance for you to ask some serious questions, questions that normally cost you money if you call one of us today. It's free. So if you have any questions, give me a call-in number. Our call-in number is 657-383-1372. So, again, anyone who have questions, go right ahead.
I have a question on the baby boomer sucking up the money. Am I not right in saying the baby boomers are sucking up their own money, and then the next group that comes along make sure they know how much to put in their own pot to suck up their own money? I'm not quite sure about we are going to suck up all the money. Aren't we sucking up our own money that we put in the pot?
I'm just saying not all of it, because you have to look at the generation before you. Some of the generations before you, they used to work on jobs for 30 and 40 years. You know what I'm saying? And they put into that pot big time. Some of them died.
Well, the other thing is, you know, the government's also borrowed from that pot too. But what we should realize is. What is the future, and how we plan for the future through how we plan for paying the taxes or at least filing taxes? Gina, I want to ask you, which is worse, not filing your taxes or filing your taxes and not paying?
Not filing your taxes.
Okay. All right.
Because if you're out there. Working somewhere and someone reported money on you, the IRS is just waiting for you to report it. Okay, so even if you report it and you owe them money, that's okay as long as you reported it, because they don't want it. They don't want to do your taxes.
Right. I always wondered, were you better off filing your taxes and coming up with a plan to pay the taxes if you owe, or not filing your taxes until you got the money to pay? Now, the other side,
no, it's better to file, because number one, they don't want to do it. The information is out there, and either way, you're going to be socked with a penalty or interest. It's late filing for all that. So, you're going to be subject to some kind of penalty.
I've got another word. Which is worse, not paying, those
estimated taxes?
Right, or paying it at the end?
Well, estimated taxes, if you pay enough up front, you don't get socked with a penalty at the end if you haven't paed enough.
I see.
So,
yeah.
And Ms. Baker, I'd like to ask a quick question. You was mentioning on the interest home loan write-offs.
Right.
What percentage, and we pray that doesn't go through, but if it should go through, I know this is Donald Trump's new proposal, but if that should go through, what percentage of the interest write-off do you think we would have?
I don't know, because I'm not quite sure as to how they're going to do that, how they're going to put a cap on it. I don't know if it's going to go by your adjusted gross income, the amount of the loan. you know, I don't know how they're going to cap it.
You know, just the growth income is going to have something to do with the interest that you can write off in your mortgage.
That's what I said. It might.
Wow.
Wow.
If they go, or they might, because if you looked at your 2016 mortgage interest statement that you got this year, it has more information than you ever had in years previous. It has the amount of the loan, when you took the loan out, how much you got left, and all that kind of stuff on it. So they're preparing for something. You know what I'm saying?
Well, Dina, I think that's a topic that we can definitely continue for next week, but it's closing time now. And, put that on your topic for next week.
Okay.
You got to close out?
Okay, in that case, Ms. Baker and Ms. Williams, why don't you guys give information on your companies as to how they can get in touch with you, and we will close that after you finish.
All right, Ms. Baker, go right ahead.
Gina Baker, Baker Financial Services, located in 1401 Mercantile Lane, Largo, Maryland. My number is 301-630-7220.
And she's the best person for your taxes that I know. Shalora Williams.
Thank you.
I'm with the law office of W. Austin Lewis and Shalora and Terry Williams at 1450 Mercantile Lane, Suite 155, Largo, Maryland, 20-20774. Telephone number is 301-341-5577. And I'm available for workshops if you got a group that wants to hear about estate planning.
Okay, thanks again. And again, Bilal Masadiq Bynum of Bynum's and Associates Financial Planning and Insurance. I do want to say that from the estate planning ceremony that Ms. Williams has given you, all of your problems as far as your assets and what has to be settled when you go to that probate court, I can tell you right now, call your insurance man or call me. Get yourself a million dollar policy. For instance, a 40-year-old male can get $1 million worth of level coverage for as low as $35 a month. $35 a month, you just covered your entire estate, and you can sell the estate by paying cash. We thank you for your time. Like you said, we will continue this conversation. Again, you can reach Bynum's and Associates, 301-234-9090. We will continue our conversation next week. Thanks for your time, and good night.